So that is the how of papal selection. What about the who? Steve Waldman is editor-in-chief of BeliefNet, a multi-faith spirituality and religion website, and he sums up several likely candidates in an online article now at Slate. We've asked him to join us on Day to Day. Steve, let's begin with your characterization of the electors, the people who are going to choose the new pope.
Well, there are 134 voting cardinals, and all but five of them were selected by the current pope, and most share his conservative views. So the least likely scenario is that we'll end up with a flaming lefty as the next pope.
All right. The first candidate that you write about, the first cardinal who might be elevated, Francis Arinze from Nigeria. What are his assets? What are his liabilities?
He's black. He's from Africa. He has very strong experience in interfaith dialogue. He was the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, which in a time when conflict between religions is such an important issue is a strong asset.
Liabilities?
The African church, though it's been growing rapidly, may be perceived as a little bit too young. He may also be too conservative. He gave a speech at Georgetown University that drew enormous protest because he was highly critical of homosexuality.
His chances, do you think?
I would say he is still the front runner at this point because he combines being from a third world country, being pretty conservative, and having this asset of great relations with the other religions.
Okay, candidate number two, Jean-Marie Lustiger, the Archbishop of Paris.
The most intriguing thing about him is that he is, technically speaking, Jewish. His mother was Jewish and, in fact, was killed at Auschwitz. If they wanted to choose someone who would have a very dramatic, electrifying effect, particularly in Europe, this would certainly be such a selection. He's also very intellectual and respected.
His chances of becoming pope, you think, as a European?
I think they're actually not very strong right now, mostly because of his age. He's 77 years old, and they tend to prefer someone in the 65 to 70 range, someone who is not so young that they're going to be around for, say, 25 years again, but not so old that they won't have time to get established and approach it with some energy.
Okay, candidate number three, Oscar Andres Rodriguez Maradiaga from Honduras.
There's a strong feeling that this may be Latin America's turn. Almost half of Catholics in the world live in Latin America. There's never been a Latin American pope. It's also an important area because it's, in a sense, a battleground area between Catholicism and Protestantism being fought out and in Latin America.
Another candidate you mentioned, Lubomir Husar. He's from the Ukraine, but also from the United States?
His family emigrated from the Ukraine under communism to the United States. He was actually ordained as a priest here. And after the fall of communism, he went back to Eastern Europe and became the bishop there. But he still retains his American passport. So technically, he is an American, which is about as close as America will ever get to having a pope.
Finally, Steve, we have yet to mention any Italians. Are the Italians never going to be popes again?
It's interesting how we've gone from assuming that it's always an Italian to thinking that the Italians really don't have a shot. It's probably somewhere in between. Even though only about 5% of the world's Catholics live in Italy, about 35% of the voting cardinals either come from Italy or work for the Vatican bureaucracy. So it's still an extremely important voting bloc.
Steve Waldman, editor-in-chief of a multi-faith spirituality and religion website, BeliefNet. You can find his article at slate.com. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Day to Day's Mike Pesca is back with us. Mike, you know, the Pope is not only this tremendous spiritual figure and great religious leader, as he's demonstrated over the last 25 years, but also this political figure coming out of Eastern Europe as he did, out of communist, then communist Poland, and this era when communism represented not just a threat to the West, but indeed to the idea of Christianity.
That's right, and he made that clear. And of course, as a boy, he experienced Nazism, so he was well versed in many forms of totalitarianism. And the Pope found a way to talk about faith and democratic institutions and make it clear that the two were very much intermingled. He would criticize oppressive governments on a spiritual level. It was a very effective criticism, and that denying a person self-determination is denying their humanity. Of course, other religious leaders like the Dalai Lama have done this also, but it's one of the reasons why the Pope's shoes will be very difficult ones to fill.
Thanks very much. Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca speaking with us from New York.